The international segment of the evening edition is brought to you courtesy of
Stewart's Auto Sales Limited, dealers for Suzuki, putting value on the road. And Stewart Motors, importers of BMW, shared driving pleasure.
Well, President Obama has opened the door to dialogue with the Islamic Middle East and has appointed envoys and all kinds of stuff. We want to talk about, first of all, the significance of the and importance of that decision. And secondly, whether it will have any real effect. To help us through that discussion is Mr. Omari, Senior Fellow at the American Task Force on Palestine in Washington, D.C. Mr. Alomari, welcome to the evening edition.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And as well, we welcome Dr. Imad Ad-Din Hamad, who is President and Director of the Minaret of Freedom Institute in Maryland. Dr. Hamad, welcome to the evening edition.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's begin with Mr. Alomari. What would you say is the significance, the importance of this decision by President Obama so soon in his incumbency to appoint an envoy and open dialogue with the Islamic Middle East?
I think the president is signaling a totally new approach to the Muslim and Arab world, as well as to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. He's signaling early engagement, he's signaling understanding, he's signaling dialogue. The language that he used yesterday and before is a language of dialogue, a language of inclusiveness. It's different from the language that we heard for the last 8 years, which stressed conflict, clash of civilization, and such concepts. So he is creating a new framing of the issues, and I think that's very important. Policies might not change significantly, but the approach will definitely be more towards bringing hearts and minds.
Dr. Hamad, how has this been received by the Islamic world in general and the Middle East in particular?
Well, I think that the main response has been positive. For most people, the mere fact that he has put this high on the agenda and that he is using a language of dialogue and respect makes such a sharp contrast with the last 8 years that people have to give him, you know, credit for it. On the other hand, there have been some sectors within the Middle East and within the Muslim community in general that have been concerned about the inconsistencies of the approach. For example, in his Al Arabiya interview, he said quite properly that it is necessary to talk to all sides, and he even went so far as to say that that his envoy would speak to all parties concerned. However, at the very same time, the State Department was saying that Mr. Mitchell would not talk to Hamas.
What is so wrong in that? Isn't it that the State Department is saying that based on the fact that even before this administration, Hamas was asked by the entire world, the United Nations, that they should at this time exercise the right for Israel to exist. The fact that they're now become a government and not just a movement, and they have failed to do that.
Well,
I think this is very consistent.
Government, because they were expected to reflect the the desires of the people who had voted them into office. The fact is that they have agreed and have been reasonably consistent at abiding by the agreements between the Palestinian Authority and Israel. All they would not do initially was to say that they believed that Israel had a legal or moral right to exist. That's their belief. And as long as they're willing to abide by the agreements that their government, that they're supposed to be part of, has signed, I don't see how one can say that, therefore, one can overturn the results of a legal election. And more important than that is the fact that we're talking about a dialogue here, and has been said repeatedly by many people. With whom do you engage in a dialogue except the people whom you want to change their mind? Remember how many years people refused to talk to Fetak.
You're making it sound, though.
Dr. Ahmad, sorry.
So, go ahead.
If I may.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only words. Hamas is engaged in terrorism. Hamas doesn't accept the two-state solution.
Yeah.
And anyways, Hamas, in American law, is a terrorist organization. There is an international position vis-a-vis Hamas. I think it would be a big mistake to reduce President Obama's approach to the world, to the Muslim world, only about the issue of Hamas. The issue of Hamas is a much more complicated one. This is a deep-seated American position. Obama will not change it, and he should not change it. However, Obama is trying to go beyond that.
Yes.
To address the Muslim world by and large. And I think this is what we have to start looking at.
Right, sir. Quite so.
Well, it's unfortunate that Hamas engages in terrorism, but it's unfortunate that Iran engages in terrorism, and Obama is willing to talk to Iran. It's unfortunate that Israel engages in terrorism, and yet we not only talk to Israel, but we send them $3 billion a year.
But in the case of Iran, didn't he say that, in other words, I'm quite willing, in other words, it was a quid pro quo, he's saying, I'm quite willing to speak to you if you unclench your fist, meaning to say, that fist in your face approach. He's appealing to Iran that if you want us to have proper discussion and across-the-board relationship, you will have to also change your approach in dealing with the West. Isn't that what he's saying?
But I think
that's what you should be doing with anyone that is your enemy.
Yeah, but
we have to be very clear about what values we stand for. We have to be very clear in terms of dialogue doesn't mean capitulation.
Yes.
And I think the U.S. and the West have to stand for clear moral values and should not compromise on these. Now,
right, sir.
The problem with the previous administration is that it equated all Muslims with terrorism. What we have is an administration now, a president, who actually is trying to separate terrorism and violence from Islam and to have a dialogue with the rest of the Muslim world. And we should not hold the Muslim world hostage to some extremists. That's my view, and I think this is what is significant about Obama's new language.
Yeah. Mr. Omari, it seemed to me that one accepts, A, that the fact that he has expressed an open door and a willingness to dialogue is not a naive kind of catapulting to things as they are. Wouldn't we expect him at least to be gradual? In other words, he may begin with Indonesia and end with Hamas. Why does he have to talk to everybody at the same time and in the same way?
No, he doesn't. I fully agree. He has to start opening a dialogue with
yeah.
those in the Muslim world who share the universal values that we all believe in. Peace, diplomacy, negotiation, respect for human rights. This is how we start. We start by empowering the moderates, by talking to them. At the same time, I believe that those who still advocate violence and terrorism should continue to be isolated. And I think President Obama is presenting an excellent mix of, on the one hand, an interest in dialogue, but on the other hand, clarity and toughness when it comes to other issues. And this
yeah.
is what you expect in a leader. He expects firmness, he expects strength, but at the same time, you also expect openness and trying to talk to those who are willing to talk.
Yeah, Dr. Ahmad, wouldn't you accept, though, that this could go very badly wrong and quickly should there be some kind of terrorist attack in the midst of this dialogue? And what do you think President Obama needs to do to ensure that he isn't left as a sitting duck?
Are you referring to a terrorist attack in the United States?
Wherever, really.
In other words, if the Muslim world is indeed wanting to in other words meet in the middle to negotiate for peace with the United States and other countries in the West, as my co-host said, don't you think that a terrorist attack at this time would spoil that entirely?
We're in the midst of the negotiation.
In the midst of the negotiation.
there are terrorist attacks going on all the time. And just recently we saw the Israelis kill 1,300 Palestinians. I don't see that unless someone is able to show that Obama's negligence was responsible for the attack, and I think it would be a bit of a stretch at this point when he's newly been installed to make such a claim. I think what's more important is to ask what is the direction and the course that he's plotting out, what are the principles he adheres to, and is he willing to apply those standards in a consistent and a fair-handed manner?
Well, why don't you try answering that? What is the course that you think he's taking, and what are the principles?
Well, I think he himself has stated those principles very, very well. I think that, for example, in his inauguration address, when he said that he would reach out to any group that was willing to open its hands from a fist, that's a good principle. When he said that they would be strong against the killing of civilians, that's a good principle. But when he remains silent in the face of so many civilians being killed, then he undermines those principles. It makes him seem that he's not willing to implement them in an old, fair-handed manner.
So you're saying that you're seeking, because I'm reading an article that speaks to Iran seek concrete changes from Obama, and you're saying those concrete changes would hinge on America's relationship or America's attitude towards the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? That's what you're saying?
Well, America is in an unusually powerful position when it comes to this issue for a number of reasons. It is the strongest military power in the world. Despite recent economic problems, it is still the strongest economic power in the world. And perhaps most importantly of all, America has a very special relationship with Israel. I think it was William Quant who said that that you don't have to be totally impartial in order to be an effective broker for peace, but if you are partial, it means you have to deliver the side that you're partial towards. And therefore, because America has such a good and strong relationship with Israel, it means it's unusually well placed in order to get Israel to behave responsibly.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask Mr. Al-Omari whether or not he agrees that it's a kind of zero-sum game, that unless Obama gets it absolutely right with Israel and Palestine, that he has no standing to win over the rest of the Muslim world.
Of course not. I don't believe that's the case.
I'll come back to Dr. Ahmad. Yes, go ahead, Mr. Al-Mahmoud.
I think the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is a central conflict, and it has to be resolved. And indeed, he has shown energetic approach to it by sending George Mitchell in his first week in office.
Yes.
But it's not the only issue. The Palestinian, what he has to show is a serious, vigorous engagement on the Palestinian-Israeli issue. He has to show credibility, but also he has to deal with other issues. One of the most important issues is the nature of the dialogue and the discourse between the Muslim world and the United States. Mm-hmm. Another issue is Guantanamo, which he is closing. Another issue is Iraq, where he is willing to withdraw. Another issue is willingness to talk to countries like Iran, even though he disagrees with them. So I think he's using a very comprehensive approach. The Palestine-Israel issue will remain a central one, and he has to work on resolving it. But I don't think that one has to have a one-dimensional approach. One has to have a multi-layered approach and work with them. And I think on the Palestinian-Israeli issue, he has been one of the most committed presidents we have seen for many years. We have not yet seen a president who, from the first week in office, has made such substantial policy as well as political moves. So I think he's moving in the right direction. You asked in the past earlier whether or not a terrorist attack will thwart this. Yeah. It will test it. It will make it difficult. And the Muslim world also has to respond. Okay. If there's a terrorist attack, the Muslim world also has to denounce and has to stand by the values that are universally adopted. I think we are at the beginning of a positive rehabilitation of the U.S. image in the Muslim world. And I think we have to all work towards improving that rather than looking for weaknesses and details that might disprove this theory.
Dr. Ahmad, you certainly must agree that, I mean, in 1 week, Obama has set the world alight in many different directions at the same time. In fact, one wonders whether he can keep up the pace he's already set, the frenetic pace. Do you agree that he has...
Well, obviously, it's easier to be on the sidelines making criticism than to be in his shoes. Mm. And so I would say that one definitely has to give him credit for what he has done. However, I think that when one is looking at what are the pitfalls, speaking now as a constructive critic, someone who wishes him well and hopes he is successful, that one has to say, well, the Palestinian-Israeli issue, while I agree with, that it is the most central issue, there are other important issues, and I think he has to be careful of missteps there as well. For example, he has to be careful that he's not giving a signal that his support or his openness towards the Muslim world is an openness towards those leaders in the Muslim world that we too often find who are dictatorial and abusive of their own people. A continuation of American support for bad leadership in the Muslim world is not a step in the right direction. Furthermore, while I think...
to interject, but who determines that? Who determines who, you know, what is or who is bad leaders in the Muslim world? Who would you say? Would you care to name?
Is Egypt bad?
Yes, is Egypt bad? Is Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, I think they are. And I think that in the case as to who would determine such things, I think we have the records of human rights groups. We have the records of those same standards that Obama has declared that he wants to see governments pursue the democracy and freedom, social justice, and that it is well known, you know, what these governments, how these governments transgress in these areas.
Dr. Muhammad, please hold your point. Let's just go to a break, and we come back right after. You can continue the point. Discussing the opening of dialogue with the Muslim world that has been part of the first week of the Obama administration. And our guests are Dr. Imad Ad-Din Hamad, who is president and director of Minaret of Freedom Institute in Maryland, and Mr. Gaith Al-Omari, senior fellow at the American Task Force on Palestine in Washington, D.C. And Dr. Ahmad, when we took the break, was articulating a view in respect of countries that he thinks America should renege on their support for because they still have human rights violation. This is as a condition for opening dialogue, Dr. Ahmad?
Well, I was merely saying that that America should use its influence in those cases in order to improve the situations. In other words, when we make a demand, well, let's take the previous administration. People seem to have no trouble criticizing the Bush administration for allowing Egypt to undermine the freeness and fairness of the elections in Egypt. Why is it that now that Obama's in office, we can't expect him to live up to the standard that we criticized George Bush for failing to meet?
Well, would we start doing that now, though, or would we at least give him a run? I mean, this is 1 week. I mean, the campaign was 2 years, but he's been president for 1 week. We can't go about accusing him of stuff now, though.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that I'm concerned that the symbols that he makes, that he sends out, may indicate that he's not willing to do that. I don't want to overblow the point, but for example, while it's wonderful he decided to give his first interview with an Arab television channel, it was Al Arabiya is a television channel that is a part of the Arab establishment. I'm not asking him
as opposed to Al Jazeera.
Al
Jazeera is part of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, when it comes to you, Mr. Omari, let Dr. Ahmad finish. No, you're saying Dr. Ahmad. He chose an establishment institution.
Yeah, and by itself, it's not a problem. No one would expect him, no one would ask him to give his first interview with Al Jazeera. But one has to be aware that giving this interview is not as clear-cut a signal as you might think it is.
Okay, I hear you. Tamar, you had a different take on that, did you?
I agree with Dr. Ahmad that at the end of the day, of course, democracy is one of the values the U.S. has to continue promoting. Mm. However, we have to also be realistic. There are many other foreign policy interests. And we also have to be practical. When President Bush tried with a sledgehammer approach to present his democracy and freedom agenda in the Arab world, you know what? It failed. It failed to change the regimes like Egypt and Saudi Arabia because it failed to take into account the real political side of things. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have to push freedom and democracy, but we have to do it in a smart way where we also offer incentives to those regimes to reform themselves. We cannot try to force them to do that. We have to have a realistic approach. And at the same time, you know what? In the Arab world, there is no news agency and no public outlet that does not have an agenda. Mm. Al Jazeera has an agenda, just like Al Arabiya has an agenda. At the end of the day, the president will have to decide and has decided where to align himself in this debate. Quite I'm not saying that he should drop the democracy agenda. However, I'm saying that there are other American national interests that will be taken into account. We have to have a smart approach, an approach that engages in a constructive way, and not try to force change, because forcing change, as we saw in the last 8 years, doesn't work. It creates a backlash, and this is what we do not want this president to do. So I think, personally, my view is, in the first week that he has been in office, he's done things in an exemplary fashion. Obviously, we will see, you know, the proof is in the eating, as I say, proof is in the eating, but ultimately, I see him as moving in the right direction, and he is finally bringing into this country a foreign policy that is a realist one, that is based on traditional concepts of foreign policy and international relations, and that is not marked by ideology, as we had in the last 8 years. And this in itself is a fundamental change.
Dr. Ahmad, what would be your feeling concerning President Obama if he insists on Iran ceasing its nuclear development? What would you say concerning that? The enrichment of uranium.
Right now the concern, of course, is to try to prevent Iran from having a peaceful nuclear program. And of course, there are various ideas that have been thrown out on the table, Iran, to avoid developing its accelerators in order to make sure they cannot create nuclear devices, nuclear weapons. I would not want to prejudice anything, any kind of negotiation that Obama would want to make with Iran in that score. So I would not tell him, you know, exactly what to say to Iran. I think the important thing is that he should start talking to Iran right away. I would say, however, that ultimately, I think one has to recognize that Iran, like anybody else, has as much right or not to develop a peaceful use of nuclear energy. And that there's no reason to have a double standard. The process of trying to protect, to make sure that there's safeguards that would prevent that being misused to develop nuclear weapons is something that you would develop in the process of the negotiations.
But I think he did say that he would want the inspectors back in. But I want to ask Mr. Alomari and yourself, Dr. Ahmad, whether or not you think there is a potentially an American backlash against the president opening this door of dialogue. Mr. Ahmad?
I don't think there's going to be a backlash. I think the president was elected with a very clear, convincing majority, and he has been clear on his foreign policy message from very early on in his campaign. I think people knew what they were voting for. And what he is doing right now is that he is fulfilling his promises, and actually I would say the backlash happened against the Bush administration and the Bush approach. And people are at this moment very supportive of this fresh approach. Of course, we will see how successful he is. This remains to be proven, but so far I think he has been doing exactly what's expected from him. We knew what we were getting into, and I think we're getting what we bargained for.
Dr. Ahmad, you believe...
I think that there already is a backlash. You can see it, but it's coming from a certain sector that you expect to lash back against it, and I think ultimately they will be unsuccessful. I think that because people have been disillusioned by this same sector that is now lashing out against Obama, they do not consider them reliable or credible, and they are gradually being disillusioned with them. However, I think that what will really be the test of Obama is not whether he gets a backlash from these critics of his, but rather what he succeeds in delivering over the medium term.
What do you think he can? What do you think he can? You believe in this diplomatic approach, do you?
I do, yes.
What do you think he can achieve by using it?
Well, again, if he does it right, I think he can achieve quite a bit. One of the things that the polls that have been done, including the recent Gallup poll of the Muslim world, is show that one of the main sources of antagonism in the Muslim world against the United States has been a feeling of a lack of respect. Now, what's happening now is Obama is quite consciously trying to demonstrate that he does have respect and that he intends to deal with respect with the Muslim world. But how that's going to play out is people are going to say, is this respect that he shows towards the Muslim world in practice going to only apply to some Muslims in some places? Or is it going to apply to a world that is not monolithic? The Muslims are of all different kinds of people. You know, there are Arabs and there are Persians. There are Turks. There are Sunnis. There are Shias, and there are people of different degrees of religiosity. Some are extremely secular. Some are very pious. Some are extremists. It's just a complete carnival of different kinds of people.
And you're suggesting that he would only be successful if he's able to reach out to all sectors of the Muslim society.
Right, to show a decent respect to all sections of the Muslim society. Doesn't mean he has to agree with them, as he himself has said about the Muslim world in general. The polls have shown that people do not expect that the American people have to agree with them, but they want to be viewed respectfully as people who, whatever their views may be, that they are human beings, and that that their views are to be discussed rationally, and that they're not to be demonized.
Mr. Omari, the last word is yours. We only have 30 seconds.
I agree with Dr. Hamad, and I would just add one last point is, while he has to show respect to everyone, at the same time, he has to be clear in front of the American people that he is not compromising basic American values, democracy, freedom, but also the abhorrence to terrorism and the fight against terrorism. If he manages to reach to all the moderate voices in the Arab world and to indeed be an agent of change without compromising the U.S. stance vis-a-vis terrorism and human rights, I think he will be a great success story.
Would not have been better said. Thank you both.
And I would agree with that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Right. Mr. Garth Al-Amari and Dr. Imad Ad-Din Hamad, our guests.